Hey there. Welcome to the Disciple Tips podcast from Battlefield Baptist Church, where our goal is to equip you as you lead the kids and teenagers in your life. My name is Colby Corcoran. I'm the media ministry director here at Battlefield. I'm joined with Beth Tate, our children's ministry director, and Travis Owens, our student ministry director. We know that there are lots of different resources out there and people much, much smarter than we are that are answering questions, but we wanted to offer you one place that condenses all that information and makes it easy to find practical tips for discipleship. Today, and really this month, we're talking about honesty. So let's go ahead and jump right into our conversation. We said this is something that kids and teenagers, struggle with. Beth and I, we just talked about, there was an instance last night where a kid lied to their parent right in front of you.
That is correct.
In the building right after service.
Yes.
Never trust your kids.
So I think maybe a good place to start is, I don't know, what do you think? I'm trying to think of the best way to frame this question. Because if you ask the question, do you think kids are honest all the time? That's a stupid question because the answer is no.
I think they can be brutally honest at some points.
Yeah.
and call you out like an adult never will.
That's because honesty is a whole lot easier to do when it doesn't involve me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or when it doesn't involve potential consequence.
Sure.
It's a whole nother story when those two things are in play.
Yeah.
I think maybe the best place to start in terms of, today is like, how would you even define honesty? Because I think it's like not lying. You know what I mean?
I think that's what we all think of when we think of it.
Yeah, sure. But I think there's so much more to that. I cannot tell a lie and be kind of evasive, maybe dishonest. I don't know. I won't say dishonest. Obviously you have a lie of omission.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of people try to say that that isn't technically being dishonest because you didn't actually verbalize a lie. You just left something out. Mm-hmm. I was the master of that as a teenager.
I think there's a difference based on what you're talking about. I think some of what we might think is honesty is actually transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And we get them mixed up. So honesty isn't just dumping everything that goes through your head onto the other person. That's more transparency. It's total openness. But I think you can be honest without being totally transparent because you don't ever want to lie, but there are times that you don't need to be fully transparent. Like, for example, in our line of work in ministry, there's times maybe that we counsel with someone or pastor counsels with someone, and if we ask him what's going on or how can we help or, hey, did this happen or, I don't know, whatever question, he can still be honest without giving us every detail of what happened in that room.
Just a quick search. The formal definition of honest is to be free of deceit, to be sincere. And so, in that situation, we can certainly be sincere without divulging every minute detail of what was said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. That seems awfully blunt, or not blunt, awfully bland, maybe awfully vague to me.
Free of deceit?
Yeah, I'm just saying that you can have dishonest business practices. Well, did I deceive anybody? Nah, I just didn't treat them well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, sure.
So, I don't know.
Is that being dishonest or just unkind?
I don't know, man. Is like schemey dishonesty? You see what I mean?
I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. So, I think the honesty piece might come in when you're confronted about it. Or, if you've said, I'm going to operate one way, and then you get schemey secretively, then, now you're being dishonest. I don't know.
So there's a, I mean, it looks like it just depends on who you ask. There's several different definitions, I guess, floating around, several different things. I'm not saying that the one that Beth provided was wrong. She pulled it right off right off the internet.
Well, then it's true.
It must be true. It's on the internet. I'm not saying it's wrong. I think my only point is it just depends on who you ask, right? And that's kind of what even this that same stupid article I was referring to that asked that question. But so, depending on who you're talking to, honesty is defined by its synonyms, right? Such as fairness, straightforwardness, sincerity, integrity, trustworthiness. Mm-hmm. To others, honesty may be speaking the truth and abiding by the rules. And so that's kind of goes back to what I was like suggesting with the business practice. If I was dishonest in business, like, I don't know. To others still, the definition of honesty may be never faking reality in order to gain a value. Honesty could be understood as an act, like speaking the truth or refusing to lie. A trait such as authenticity and a disposition, right? Like a tendency or a habit to be forthcoming with relevant truths.
I mean, I think if to look at the other side of it, I had read in a study among teens ages 13 to 19 years old who were surveyed, almost 200,000 of them were surveyed, and they the U.S. statistics said that 47% of them said you had to sometimes, quote, bend the rules to your own benefit in order to get by. In other words, you have to lie to get what you want or to win at life. You know, and they went on to say that dishonesty is almost always a form of pride. So to look at, you know, when we're not really finding the exact definition of honesty, but what is dishonesty, and it's often used to control or to manipulate a situation.
Yeah.
And I believe in my line of work, and I'm sure Travis can speak for what he deals with the teens, but with kids, it's almost always used, the lying and dishonesty, as a way to control me or their parents or to manipulate a situation among us or their peers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually, I mean, for me anyways, more specific to teenagers, is lying generally has to do with controlling your perception, attempting to mm-hmm. control your perception of them. And it can be the stupidest things. It does not matter what, I mean, oh yeah, I once scored 100 points playing a game of basketball.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I've watched you play. No, you didn't. You run down a court like Napoleon Dynamite. No, you didn't. You know, just the stupidest stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Or... again, so like, what's your definition of dishonesty? Go to Instagram. I've seen kids who have four or five different profiles, mm-hmm. right? And they're liking their own pic.
Casey
from
said
their own profile.
Casey said it's called a Finsta.
Yeah,
like
I've
your
heard
fake
about that.
Insta.
Okay, so listen, if you have a Finsta, right, here's where I'm gonna post like blah 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 blah. But here's what I want you, like on my other account, my actual account, here's what I want you to believe about me. Right. So here's all my vacation pics, and it makes it look like I'm traveling all the time. But this one's for real. This is one for a few of my friends. So I'll be like, oh, today sucked. Oh, woke up like this, my hair's all whatever. Okay, but then I have this account that has nothing to do with that, and that's a whole fake persona or whatever. Listen, I've seen kids like their whole like photos from their original like master account. Like, here's what I want you to think of me, mm-hmm. just to get more likes, go like it from every other profile that they have. I have a kid who helps with the youth group Instagram account because I suck at social media so bad. And I've watched her like her own pics from the youth group's account. So that's what I'm saying. Like, are these people telling lies? No. Is that being honest? No, I don't think so either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's just, it to me, and where I'm from, it just has to do so much with trying to control how you perceive them, right? So if it's if they think it's going to make them look bad, yeah, I'll lie about it. If I think I can tell this or embellish even mm-hmm. on this story to make you think I'm cooler or whatever, yep, embellish about that too.
I mean, I think you're obviously I don't deal with fake Instagram or Instagram really at all with the kids. It's most of them, as far as I know, under fifth grade don't have Instagram accounts, but I could be wrong. That's obviously a whole new world, I think, to me. I mean, obviously, as a teen, I had my own ways of trying to make you think I was something that maybe I wasn't, but it certainly wasn't on social media. But I think the problem lies in that, you know, and I'm of that age that their parents are doing it. They're portraying a life that is not exactly what's going on. Are they lying? No, maybe not. I mean, but they might be making things look a little better. And I think that's where, as adults, we're influencing the kids. You know, we often chuckle about the little white lie that someone, that mom told, you know, you see it on Facebook, you know, oh, I told them that, you know, Disneyland was closed for the day, ha, 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 or something like that. The silly things that we laugh at, but you're not being honest if that's what we're using as the definition.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think, based on what you said, I think it still somewhat goes back to each of the examples we've talked about root themselves in deceit mm-hmm. or manipulation. Sure. You're trying to deceive someone, whether it's for personal gain, and like you said earlier, that starts to roll pride into it some, or in business practices, you're trying to be deceitful. And you kind of segued, Beth, into what I was going to ask as the next question. So initially I was going to ask, do you think we have gotten to this point in society? But I'm going to just go ahead and make the executive call that we're at where I'm about to set up. So given the fact that we now, as a culture, even outside of, I mean, in secular culture, I really think it has started to seep into church culture, knowing that we've gotten to the point where we're okay with small lies, like we're almost feeding this beast, where we joke about it and we laugh about it and our kids see us doing it. What might, I don't know, is... Do you all see a potential course of action, like, to remedy it? Because, I mean, based on our first podcast, going back to something that Travis said in episode one with technology, you made the comment that said if they're 15, 16 years old and you're trying to do stuff now, it's going to be a bear to try and reverse everything sure. that you've built in to try and go forward. It's still worth it. We think.
Sure.
But it's going to be harder. So given the fact that we've really kind of like, we've almost walked ourselves into this situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong. I had been thinking about this earlier when I was thinking about this topic, and I could be wrong because I don't work with teens. But I almost feel like with the age groups that I work with, we're almost trying to build a structure with them and instilling honesty and not lying and being honest regardless of what you believe the consequences are. And that, yeah, to go back to what Travis said in that first episode, that he's almost dealing with the consequences of kids who haven't gotten that firm structure mm-hmm. of being honest, and that as Christ followers we're held to a standard of right. not being deceitful. And again, I look at some third and fourth graders who I'm like, wow, you've been lying a long time. You know, so I feel like sometimes I feel like it's, you know, also on my shoulders to try and teach them how to be honest, regardless of what the consequences are going to be, which is usually punishment for their age. Right. And that Travis is kind of dealing with the back end of that, mm-hmm. Kids that haven't gotten that. And how do you deal? I think he has a harder job of it because teens are just so accustomed to lying on a bigger scale, I might say.
But it's also, I mean, when they're young, it's just there's so much more
moldable,
pliable, mm-hmm. moldable, open, right? They like, but suddenly when you hit 12,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it's this miracle that happens where you're just all of a sudden, like, God just blesses you with knowledge of all things at the age of 12, and nobody can tell you
Absolutely.
Any different. Right, and so you become less moldable. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, what do you do? How do you instill honesty inside of a teenager when their parents don't care? When there's no repercussions
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
any actions at home. Zero. As a matter of fact, mom and dad aren't even engaged enough to know whether or not this was a lie. To know, you know what I mean? Like, sure, there's sometimes they do, but there's zero consequences there either, right? Like, just because there's so many other battles. It's not that they hate their children or whatever,
sure.
but it's like, listen, I've had to battle about what clothing they're going to wear today. I've been battling about, you know, not vaping. I've been battling about whatever. You name
yeah.
it, man. It was a battle to get them out of bed to even go to school, right? And so, like, battling over this seemingly, you know, air quote, like, white lie or whatever, just doesn't seem like a mountain I'm willing to die on. So suddenly now, you know, take that over to youth group, to God, all this, like, I mean, I have zero, like, actual authority.
Right.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Like, I can't punish this kid at home.
Yeah, you have authority in the room.
All I can say is, listen, like, the Bible says this. You should not do this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if that value hasn't been instilled at home, often from a very early age, then they don't care. They don't care. It makes no difference to them what the Bible says and what it doesn't say. So I don't say this to say, you are the front line. It is all, mm-hmm. has to do all at home, right? Like, there's probably zero, like, corrective course I can take here in the youth group in
yeah.
terms of lying, other than just trying to call them out, you know, like on
mm-hmm.
a one-on-one setting, not necessarily trying to embarrass them, but just saying, look, man, like, you know, that's not the truth. Right,
mm-hmm.
here's what I saw, or here's what happened, right? We know, you know, whatever. This wasn't honoring to God, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I know he can bless your honesty, right? I know he can bless integrity or whatever. But aside from doing those things and walking through just, you know, showing them what the Bible says about integrity and these kind of values, like, there's zero course of action. It's all 100% at home.
Mm-hmm. So knowing that obviously, like you said, there's not much that we can do here. Because you're right. I mean, we talk about that often. There's 168 hours in a week. And if we're lucky, we see them for two. Maybe three if they come Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, which means they're also sitting in main service with the adults if they're teenagers. So knowing that at max, we might see them 3 hours a week of the 168 that they have, and knowing that parents are the front line, are there things that, I don't know, that maybe you would encourage parents in to try and take a practical step? Because I know, Travis, from your side, you said there are parents who just don't care. It seems like there is no punishment, there is no accountability with any of it. But we know that there are at least some, and really, it hits a lot harder when they're younger, parents who at least seem to take it seriously when they lie, because they punish them when they catch them in a lie. But I don't know, I just can't help think, maybe should we be doing more than just punishing lies, but like steering, like rewarding the truth?
Yeah, I think that's part of what I was going to say too. I mean, I've had a, for whatever reason over the last couple months, a number of parents just either in conversation or out of concern or inquiring about their child's behavior during service or whatever, talk about the ever-growing issue of lying and sneakiness, and how, you know, I'd rather they be just rambunctious, or I'd rather they just hit their brother and sister. It's the sneakiness, it's the lying, it's the, you know, I don't know how to deal with that. I think personally, and it didn't happen for me until much later in life. And it's something that I've actually tried to relay to the kids in some of the messages that I've given to them, is the freedom around honesty. That, yeah, it's gonna hurt, especially when you get older and you're an adult, and there's things that you have to be honest about that you know are gonna not just hurt you, but maybe hurt other people. Yeah. But there is a freedom that is found in being honest, that I mean, the number of things that you can be honest about and feel that weight lifted off your shoulders. And I know for the younger kids, that's not always the easiest thing to mm-hmm. comprehend. I've tried to tell stories from when I was younger about, you know, when I wasn't honest, and then when I was honest, and how, yeah, okay, I got punished, but it wasn't the end of the world. And I didn't feel like I was constantly harboring something and having to tell another lie to cover up another lie to mm-hmm. cover. I mean, it just gets really, really messy after a while. And I actually always revert back to Psalm 32, where David is talking about his dishonesty towards God and towards his fellow men, and how it felt like a wasting disease. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until that he finally came clean that it was, as he says, refreshment to his soul. And even, you know, I often go back to that just as a constant reminder, because like I said, it was so much later in life before I realized just really the freedom behind being honest. And I look back at some of the kids, things I did as a kid, that I'm like, man, I could have saved myself months of anguish if I had just come forward. And so I try on a kid level to relate that to a lot of them, that, you know, you're gonna feel a lot better when you just come clean and you don't lie and you're not trying to be deceitful or hide something. Mm. I think some of them get it. I'm not sure they all do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what happens when I do that at home and the exact opposite happens? I don't feel better. And I'm reminded constantly by mom and dad about this thing that I decided to tell the truth about that I could have lied about, you know, but that I messed up, whatever it may be, and it's brought up constantly over. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So no, I get it. I mean, and adults do that too to each other.
Oh, yeah.
I think adults are pretty famous for that. I don't know. I think there's just something to be said for still feeling like you did the right thing. I know that's not an easy thing to understand, but in the end, you did the right thing.
So, like, I mean, Proverbs 10:9, you know, the person that walks in integrity mm-hmm. Walks securely, but the person who takes crooked paths will be found out, right? And, like, there's this factor, like, you know, especially when you get older, like, you know, like, you've told lies, like, it's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to find that out, right? And you are chained mm-hmm. to your lies, right? You're chained now to have to, like, live that out or continue in that lie or, you know, I mean, we've all seen the instance where you have to lie more to cover up the lie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, absolutely, what you're saying, like, there is so much freedom and just telling the truth. But, you know, how do you relay that to a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've gotten more respect from pastor, you know, when he's called me in the office straight up. Hey, man, did you tell somebody this and this? You know, something like he confided in me. And I blew it, man. I told somebody, and I told them in confidence, you know, and it came back around. And it's like, I didn't mean anything by it. I'm just trying to get it off my chest.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't mine to tell. And now here I am confronted with it. Could have been like, nope, hey, no, they just get it. You know what I'm saying? But like, I've just never taken that policy, man, where I'm just going to be honest no matter what, right? Like, I'm not lying for anybody. I'm not putting myself in that situation. And I think that there's just been so much respect given from that, right? Like, he can respect that. Yeah, I messed it up, man. My bad. I'm sorry. I won't let it happen again.
But you were at least willing to come clean about it.
Well, it was the only policy for me. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to dig a deeper hole with it. But so how do you relay that back to kids? You know what I mean? That's how do you... You know, in terms of us in this podcast, it's all about discipling. So how do we model or
practically
teach these things practically in our home for our kids, right? With the whole idea of transforming, helping anyways. This is a miracle from God, right? It's from the Holy Spirit. Like, he's going to help us with all this. But the whole idea is that we're helping, not hurting, not hindering the Holy Spirit in transforming them into the image of Christ. So how do you practically teach and instill honesty in your kids? Yeah.
Well, that's why I asked earlier. I said, I didn't know, do you all think it's possible, viable, to potentially move away from the negative that you always get? I mean, I'm not advocating for you to stop giving consequences when your kids lie. But the thought is, like, are there things that parents could do maybe towards the positive to get kids to see the joy in being honest, to, like, instead of simply telling them, hey, it feels so good when you're honest.
Sure.
Man, this is sweet. You should try it. Because, again,
it's
like we said,
cool.
Dishonesty is rooted in that deceit and in that manipulation. And I think part of it sometimes comes down to that, where, like, if a kid wants to make sure that mom and dad still like them, or they're worried that their worth in mom and dad's eyes is tied to their behavior, if a kid messes up, they're more likely to want to lie in order to keep that image so that they feel
sure
good.
Oh, sure.
Or they feel like, so are there things that parents could do? And that's why I said, like, reward the truth.
Yeah,
or,
I mean, I think we've had great success in the children's ministry with positive reinforcement for a number of different behaviors, obviously honesty being one of them. I don't know if that works the same with teens. I know that, kind of to harken back to what you were just saying, as a teen, and it's not by any doing of my parents, but I strove to be this certain kid, and sometimes that included lying. Mm-hmm. Because I liked when people were proud of me.
Yep.
It's something I struggled with into my adulthood, mm-hmm. too. I don't know as a teen that there was much my parents could have done to change that. I think as a kid, yes, the positive reinforcement, the acknowledging when they've done something right, or acknowledging or giving credit to someone when they come forward, which some of them do, and say, Miss Beth, I did this wrong. I'm sorry. Or, you know, let me, if you've ever seen Travis speak about, you know, his brother's taking his punishment. I'm not saying that the kids ever do that, but I have had some step forward when the wrong person has been accused of something, and they will. They'll come forward and they'll say, that was actually me. And there's a fine line between really rewarding that and not obviously disciplining them for what they did wrong. But yeah, you do try to acknowledge that, but I don't know if the same thing works with teenagers.
Yeah, man, we've had some instances where certainly the positive reinforcement has helped here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had some kids that just, oh man, I'm gonna put a good old godly chokehold on. But just finding, like, something redeeming that they've done, and really just going out of your way to say, you know, mm-hmm. I appreciate this, man. I appreciate you calming down tonight. Whatever. And it may even have to be a stretch. But, yeah, we found that go a long way. I think the issue kind of with where we're going is a lot of people are going to feel a tendency to say, oh, okay, so I need to reward when I'm told the truth. And so they go the opposite. They reward when the truth is told, and don't discipline when a lie is told.
Right. And that's not what I'm...
Sure. Absolutely.
That's not
right.
What
and
I'm
that's
saying.
Why I was saying there's a fine line between... Sure.
And that's where I think, like, if you have the instance of someone coming forward later and saying, hey, I did this, it was actually me. And so even if maybe earlier they lied, but then later they came clean about it, I still think discipline needs to be given for the lie, but almost exactly, Travis, like you just said, maybe the, quote, reward for the truth is telling them, hey, thank you for telling me the truth. I really appreciated that, because I maybe, and of course, most parents, like we, I think, was it, we were talking about on Sunday, you said like there's things that you've, that your parents know you've done and you don't know that they know.
Oh yeah, like, that was
parents,
my message.
You probably already know sometimes.
Yeah.
That they've done it and you're just waiting for your kids to own up to it. I think just being honest in that moment and just telling them, hey, I appreciate your honesty. I already knew,
sure.
But I'm glad you told me. But you realize that you lied first and that's still not okay. So I think maybe in that instance, it allows you to take a more loving approach instead of bring the hard rod of iron across their face. Because
what verse is that?
Because they like, exactly can't point you.
I think hard. Too. I've tried with a couple kids and it's worked to get to the root of why they're lying. To ask them, because why did you feel the need to lie? Why did you think if you were dishonest, it would be better for you than if you told the truth? And a lot of times it does come back to, well, I don't want to get in trouble, or, mm-hmm. But a lot of times it has to do with something that's going on with their peers, bullying, yeah. Or something like that. And it becomes a much deeper rooted issue that we need to grab hold of.
Yeah.
So, I forgot her name. Sorry. Dr. Joanne Stern. I believe she wrote the book, Parenting is a Contact Sport. Great read. No, that's a joke. Sorry, I can't recommend it either way. I've never read it. But she wrote an article, and you can find it in Psychology Today. And so essentially the article gives you three tips on how to help instill honesty in your child. And again, please, like, scripture is the filter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you read on the internet, I don't care who you heard it from, right? I mean, this chick has letters after her name. She's super smart, right? She's obviously invested a lot of time in studying this. Again, if it doesn't filter through scripture, throw it out, you know? So,
yeah.
And that's with anything you mm-hmm. read. But so what she has, one of them pertains exactly to what we're talking about, right? And so it's actually her third point in this article that you find. And it's let them know that you put more emphasis on their honesty than on the punishment for their dishonest behavior. And so if you read the point she's talking about is let them know how important their honesty is. You know, but avoid not punishing their dishonesty, right? Like, so
mm-hmm.
you still need to
right.
punish dishonesty,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
let them know how important their honesty is. And I think you can use that in both moments when they've told you the truth, right? So reward that to the skies, you know? Like, man, hype that up. That's so awesome. Thank you. I know that took so much courage, right? Like, this was, you know, I know this was awkward. This was hard for you, you know, and hey, man, but it's built this trust, right? When our family, like, it's hard to be close if we can't trust each other, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever it is, reward that. But also, you can even remind them of the emphasis that you put on honesty in moments when they've been dishonest, right? And not necessarily from, like, this super harsh, like, I can't believe you lied to me. You know we need to be honest here, and you violated my trust. But from this, like, just loving, like, caring. I don't know. It's not a bad point anyways, if you read the thing. She tells a story, something that had happened to her when she was young.
Yeah.
I think as adults, we also just need to model honesty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, and that goes back to what you and I, Colby, were talking about that I was talking with the kids about on Sunday. I mean, you know, kids are so quick to tell you that they know and understand that God sees all and he knows everything that we do. Yet as adults, we often, you know, put that out of our mind that he sees everything. And I try very hard in everything that I do, down to the very minute details, to be very honest with the kids. If there's something I've forgotten to do or I've misspoke on something, and owning up to it as quickly as I realize the mistake, Because kids know that as adults, we can come up with all sorts of crazy excuses as to why we did something. Yeah. And that's not fair to them either. So, you know, a lot of times I will say, you know, I got to be real honest with you guys. You know, we were supposed to do that today, but I forgot. Or, so I think just really modeling honesty. And I know that as adults, we often do tend to lean towards those little white lies because it seems just a little bit easier in life to just kind of brush something off, especially with kids, because you think they'll forget about it, but they don't.
Right.
Beth, have you read Parenting as a Contact Sport by Dr. Joanne Stern?
I don't believe so.
I feel like maybe you've read it, like trying to get parenting tips for your bird, because that's actually her second point, was model honesty for your children, not only in your words, but also in your lifestyle. And so you see this a lot, right? Like, I mean, 100%. And it kind of goes back to, like, what is your definition of honesty? So, yeah, you should not tell a lie with your lips, right? You should speak the truth. But also, I mean, you see it all the time. So, like a kid, hey, Dad, where do babies come from? And you're like, I don't know. Oh, no, go ask your mom. Right, and because it's awkward and it's uncomfortable, right? But and while that's a real playful scenario, a number of these built up is just teaching your kid how to avoid being honest, right? You're not necessarily teaching them to lie,
mm-hmm.
but you're also teaching them how to be deceitful.
Yep.
Because you know where they came from. Like, I don't know, man. So that's essentially her point, is right. Model it not only with your words, but also model it with everything you're doing in your lifestyle. And listen, we know that the Bible, Deuteronomy, you look at the Shema, right, mm-hmm. over and over, and it's parents. Teach your kids, right? You were God's plan to disciple your children all along. It's always been you, right? So much so that they are modeling, they're doing the things that you do. They are copying you. They're soaking up everything that you do from a very young age, whether you want them to or not. Right? So you are discipling your kids. You're leading them somewhere. Right? It just, like, our goal is to get it to be towards God, towards Jesus, towards his image. Mm-hmm. So you modeling this for your kids is great, man. That's 100%. And that puppy filters through scripture all day long. What's Joanne's third point? I feel like you know this.
I don't think I read that book, no.
Come on, just give me
They sound very similar point. To points that were in my children and youth ministry class. So, No, I think, you know, Colby's joked that I've been anticipating this podcast or whatever. But I think it's just because it's something that I do deal with the kids on a regular basis. But it's also something that I struggled with as a kid. And I have great parents. I really do. But I don't know. I was that sneaky kid, and my parents didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle it. And I think that, I feel for those parents that are dealing with that, you know, and in modeling and in trying to show kids honesty. I know that, you know, we walk kind of on eggshells, but I do occasionally try to give the kids examples, like I said previously, of things that I did. Now, I was telling Colby this morning where I'm pretty sure one of my examples, the kid might have only heard the first part of what I did and not the repercussions from what I did. So you have to be very careful with that. But again, I also try to be very, you know, I had a kid ask me, you know, a question about my time in prayer and in devotion with the Lord. And I have been honest that, you know, yes, even as adults and people who do ministry for a living, I struggle. I do struggle. I'm not going to lie to them and tell them, absolutely, Miss Beth is, you know, never has any problems. She's always fine, and her prayer life is always on track. So I don't know. I just try to lead by example. But again, I only see your kids, some of them at best, 2 to 3 hours a week. And that's not a lot. So, and a lot of these kids are convinced that I live in the church anyway. So, you know, this is my life.
She, in fact, does not.
So I've got one more.
Thanks.
I've got one more. I saw something. I just want to see what you all think about it. So some of the examples for how to help foster honesty as I was doing some research. One place advocated, it said, don't put your kids to the test. So basically, don't give your kids opportunities to be dishonest by trying to get them to tell the truth. So an example that they gave was asking the question like, did you spill that milk? Did you knock the lamp over? Things like that where you're trying to get them to tell the truth.
I think that's such an automatic adult reaction.
You're almost kind of throwing them a real easy softball to be like, no.
Yeah.
Beth did. Right. So I was curious what you all thought as another, like, to just tack on to what you all have been saying, the modeling honesty and in your lifestyle and telling the truth and rewarding the truth, but still disciplining things. Just that was another one that I saw that I thought was interesting.
I think we all fall prey to that one.
Yeah, that's like a natural response.
Especially
like
with little kids.
Yeah,
you're hoping that they're just going to automatically be honest. I'm not sure that's the best approach. It backfires most of the time.
Yeah.
They blame someone else or the dog or someone that's not even in the room.
And then you almost set yourself up
right
to need to punish them. Because if you ask that question and you know that it was them in the first place, you've given them a chance to lie. And if they lie, then the question becomes, do you punish them because they lied? You need to, but you kind of walked them right into it. So I was just curious what you guys thought.
And I call that entrapment. Yeah. Well, it's illegal in most parts of the country. No, absolutely. I've read the same thing, about like not setting them up. And a lot of that has to do with tone, too. Like, mm-hmm. If you know your child's done something, how do you approach it? Did you spill that milk? Right? Like, there's a big difference between that and like, oh, man, there's some milk on the was that you? Or, I mean, you see what I'm saying? There's a huge
sure.
difference between coming to them like real accusatory, mm-hmm. Which you're going to be if you already know the answer.
Right.
And in a way, aren't you being dishonest when you ask that question yourself? Like, is that modeling honesty when you know the answer, but you're going to ask anyway?
No, but like I said, I think it's you're hoping that they're going to be just the super honest kid.
Listen, can we go back all the way to the first 30 seconds of this podcast? Never trust your kids. Listen, you already know they spilt the milk. I said, look, dude, you spilt the milk. It's time to pay the piper. No, I don't know.
That's intense.
That's getting intense, right? I have no kids, by the way. I have a dog who walks backwards through the kitchen, so don't take my word
He's
for it.
He's worried about how I parent my bird.
Listen, I'm not worried about it. I just felt like you read Parenting is a Contact Sport by Dr. Joanne.
So we agree.
I don't think that's the best course of action.
Bad thing to do.
If I'm being very honest, I've certainly done it. Caught myself doing it. I've tried to stop it. I find it's a lot easier with, when I say the little ones, I'm like first grade and below. Mm-hmm. You almost automatically are like, oh, did you knocked the blocks over? Did you knock? I mean, I don't know why. You just do. And you hope that they're going to be honest, but even at that age, they're not.
Listen, I do the same thing with my dog.
We do it with our dogs.
And they're like, get in the sun. I even have like a dog shaming photo of like, and I remember the day he ate this loaf of bread. I don't even have bread in my house no more, right? Because I'm more healthy than you are. But it's a joke. But
cut that out.
Please do not edit that out. So we had some bread in the house. Like, he ate this loaf of bread. He's the only creature in the house, right? The only thing in the house. It was clear he ate the bread, right? He has this super guilty look. I have the picture on my phone, but I remember just being like, did you get into the bread? Like, don't tell me. There's a dog. He can't tell me anything. Of course he got into the bread, right? I don't know. It's just kind of like almost human nature.
To do that, yeah.
Yeah. So I think maybe just reframing it in our minds, like I know initially we might think we're giving them an opportunity to be honest, but in reality, you're setting them up to be dishonest. Because if you say, you spilled the milk, what are they going to do? They either have the choice to say, yeah, I did,
or
they're going to be dishonest on their own. Like, they don't need your help.
It's retraining yourself. Yeah. It's something that I've learned in working with kids, is that it's so important to stop momentarily for that 5 to 10 seconds and think mm-hmm. about the question you're about to ask them. Because as adults, we just so automatically ask certain questions, and it's just very important to stop yourself and be like, wait a minute, how am I going to handle this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just was doing some reading about that particular, like, don't set them up point. And they're literally, we used milk. They're using juice in this thing. Looks like you spilled some juice. Let's clean it up together. That's actually their suggestion, instead of looking at their juice-stained lips and, like, the mess on the table and be like, did you spill some juice? So they're just saying, keep focused on the actual issue at hand. Right, so instead of, like, who broke this vase?
Creating, like, an honesty issue.
Look at, you know, this broken vase. All right, let's clean it up together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good.
So actually, I mean, that seems to be pretty good.
You avoid creating an honesty problem.
You might also avoid some disappointment in your household, too. just throwing that out there. Not saying your kid's going to lie to you every time, but you might be setting yourself up for some disappointment, too. Never trust your kids.
All right, anything else?
No. I don't know. He was opening his Bible there. I thought he had something.
No, I had nothing.
All right, well, thank you all so much for listening. We know this episode was a little bit longer, but that's all right. Any of the resources or the links that we mentioned be listed in the show notes or on our church website, battlefieldbaptist.org. Where you can also listen to the episode if you want. Because our desire is for everyone to disciple the kids and teenagers in their lives, we want to make sure that as many people can access this content as possible. So one of the major ways that you can help with that is by sharing this episode on social media or with a specific person. If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas, or tips that maybe you've even heard or used that you'd like to share with us, please tell us. You can either leave a comment or review, or even email us directly. Our emails are all on the church website, or they're just our first names, Colby Beth or Travis at battlefieldbaptist.org.
And remember, parents, that when it comes to discipling your kids, teaching them how to grow closer to Jesus and grow more into his image, especially when it comes to honesty, the worst thing you can do is do nothing at all.
We'll see you next month.